Oh yeah, what condition my condition was in.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Oh. Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
Oh, it's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... That's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning.
Well, welcome back to Saxon Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. SP Futures up 19. NASDAQ Futures up 52 as we continue our... Fed's going to buy every bond in the world. Will stocks be next? Rally. So there. Kevin, how are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fine.
I had a occasion yesterday... I actually talked to a few different people as my day wears on. One of them was on one of the teams of the one of the places I do some money management for. Is some very well educated, but you wonder where some of the book learning stopped. Absolutely convinced. He's let's put it this way, Kevin. He's one of the rockhead right. Couldn't possibly understand what the two representatives were asking about Chairman Powell yesterday. Like, what are you doing, like, buying these bonds, and where did you get? And they're both Democrats. So, of course, he's all over these two guys because they're Democrats. And those are two guys, to me, that act, look like they ask some decent questions, but what do I know? And I said, well, you really think this is a good idea? Where does the Fed just happens to have people... hanging around there that nobody even knows they're on the payroll that are experts on corporate bonds are going to go out and start buying the right ones. Hey, come on, Tommy. You know these guys got nothing but really big investment bankers. These guys are so smart. If they're not on the payroll, then they know them, and these guys would never front run anything. Wait a minute. One thing I know in this world is that knowledge is power, and that I've been a trader for 40 some years. So is this guy. Why doesn't he realize that every single person who knows that a trade is coming? That information leaks like a sieve, and people get onto it. And especially because I really believe the Fed wants it to leak, because they'd rather do less and have it have a bigger effect. How do people get to that? Or how, maybe I'm just too cynical, Kevin. But how does that? I don't want the Fed in the corporate bond markets just to be there, just throwing money at the place because they can't figure out where else they're going to put money in the system, and then propping up bonds that maybe shouldn't be propped up. But I know that if I know that if the Fed is going to buy XYZ bond, I want to buy it right before him. I'll put it on a stone if I was the guy upstairs and send it down with Moses. Hey, if you find out somebody's a buyer, let me know. I mean, this goes back to the what kind of tree do they used to sit under in the New York Stock Exchange? Joe's a buyer. Let me buy it first. I'll sell it to Joe. How are people just because it's the left is. There's two guys that happen to be Democrats are questioning it a little bit, and all of a sudden, if you're on the right, you have to say this is a great program. I mean, have we reached that stage?
Yeah. Unfortunately, we have very much reached that stage where you pick a team, and it's our team versus their team, and our team can do no wrong, and their team can do no right.
But that doesn't really cut it when there's like 100 different subjects that people are talking about. Even the dumbest.
It really doesn't, does it? Yeah. Look. Some of these arguments. I one of the best phrases I ever heard is from an author and kind of an activist. She's a women's rights activist and a professor at UC Davis or a school on the West Coast like that. Her name is Joan C. Tennessee Williams, and she referred to some of these arguments, and in her case, she was chiding, you know, fellow people on the left, that a lot of it is just simply intellectual comfort food. I mean, isn't that a great term? That you use, you know, you use these arguments just to make yourself feel better about where you are, rather than to actually make a strong case.
Yeah, I don't understand why anybody who certainly is educated, when they see a Fed blowing the money supply up on a 60% rate, and is dying to find other things to buy to do it even worse. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know why they're doing it. Well, yes, I do know why they're doing it. They're trying to devalue the currency so the debt doesn't look as bad. But boy, they're going to take an awful lot of people with them when they do that. Just saying.
Yeah, I think it's a problem. What did Paul say? He's not going to go through the bond markets like run through the bond markets like an elephant. And I thought, elephants run?
Yeah.
No, they just kind of overpower it.
Yeah. Elephants are actually very fast when they do run. Just saying.
I'll have to go find some video of it, because yeah. I don't know that I've ever seen anything any pictures of an elephant running.
Well, they don't usually have to run. I mean, but that's not like they can't. You know, I'm just saying. It's a good thing I'm doing the show, Kevin, because if I was just sitting here in Chicago, this is getting bleaker by the day here. This is not. We're not coming out of this at all. I mean, every single day, Maddie. Am I right or wrong? What did they cancel yesterday? A couple of things, like the blues thing in the fall. We're not talking about fall events even going. These things are dropping by the day. And one of my buddies who works at a firm downtown here that will remain anonymous, even though we used to clear through them, they got some big hunk of paper in the mail. Basically says they want everybody to stay until January at home at least. And if you need to come back, because you actually need to be in the office, you can come back like by September. But I didn't get into the full details of the conversation there, but I think they want you to sign releases and stuff. I mean, this is all done by some team of lawyers. I mean, are we there now?
Yeah, I think we are. It's just really weird times. You know, yesterday's announcement about a treatment. I think those kinds of things are really important, and you know, those should be. You know, everybody keeps saying the science. Well, that's part of the science, and so you know that we are. We are actually coming up with these things should be guiding people to normalcy, not to continue the status quo, such as it is now.
Well, as our friend Carl said,
that makes sense.
Yeah, but the timing of it and the announcing of it and the market moves because of it. I'm pretty convinced, our buddy Carl does not lie, that this particular drug was a news item 60 days ago that it helped. 60 days ago, I remember reading that one of the things that was killing, especially the younger people that seemed to have a real problem with COVID, not the people that are 70s, they were doing almost the same thing to their body that people were doing in the Spanish flu. They were overwhelming it with their own immune system, causing blood clots around their lungs and those kinds of things. And I seem to remember reading that giving people right away that start showing those symptoms, anticoagulants, and I seem to recall that steroids also, a couple of steroids, absolutely helped as well. And that the combination of those two was making a big difference. And this was in April, late April, Kevin.
Right, and you know, to give some benefit of the doubt here, it may have been in the experimental stage then, and now they're willing to
yes.
bless it more, or at least one study is willing to bless it, and that's okay. I'm fine with that as a scenario. If that's the way it went, that's cool. But that stuff, and that we have kind of a regular series of these coming out that should at least have people saying, not committing anything to January, it's just saying, we're encouraged by what we're seeing, and, we'll let you know more in a month. That doesn't seem crazy to me.
No, but we have one cancellation after another here, and people just putting Board of Trade was supposed to be, one day. Who knows if they even want to come back, but now they're talking about August. If you live in Chicago right now, Kevin, it's like I don't know. I can't even put a joke on it, but it's almost like, no, it's next week. No, it's next month. It's like the song. Tomorrow is always a day away. I mean, nobody seems to want to say our building is opening up and we want everybody back, like at any date, and hang on to it. It's just moving. Maddie, am I right or wrong? I mean, it just there's no more cars. There's a few more. The reason why people aren't opening up the bars and restaurants downtown is there's nobody here. It's not because they can't do it now. I talked to the people over at Sirius. They go, there's nobody there. What are we going to open for?
Well, it's that madness, and nobody wants to be first because nobody wants to get to take the heat for it. So there is a decided lack of courage going on here. And maybe it's founded in that we have such a litigious society anyway. So,
well, nobody knows how these things are going to be treated, and we don't have anybody with any backbone at the federal, state, local level that says if you let somebody back in your building and 2 weeks later somebody gets COVID, you're not liable. We don't have anybody.
That's the whole thing.
Well, but I mean, you never were liable for the flu or cold. There's a legal establishment come up with the opinion now that because
I saw the guy Howard Aiken that runs the legal ads on all of the Cubs and White Sox games.
Yeah,
you see him so many. Call me 312-6 million. Everyone sees him. His latest ad is all COVID-19 related. Call me.
Okay, but I mean, my question is, and I don't know the answer to this, but my question is, why couldn't he have done that 5 years ago with the flu or cold?
I don't know.
I mean, what has changed? Is the fact
he couldn't have, and what needs to happen is somebody needs to take that on and win. And then we will have established some precedent here, and we can start getting on with our lives.
Okay, well, that's true. What's that, 5 years away?
Yeah, that might be a ways away, but that's exactly right.
Well, or get a summary judgment with just the argument you made. Since when are we responsible for contagions that find their way into the workplace? We can always create a clean, safe environment, and always have. So it's got to be someone with the deep enough pockets, somebody who really just wants to do it because they want to set the precedent.
But somehow the thought of walking into the OEX pit in 1991 and coming out with a cold and suing the SIBO. I mean, why do people even get these ideas? I mean, but you're right, Kevin. It's just one after another. It just becomes, and sure enough, some building is going to get the $1 million lawsuit. Because somebody went home and grandma, of course, got it from this person or grandpa, and he died. And now it's $1 million, and somebody's going to say, rather than pay, Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe, 100 grand, well, this guy settled for 50. They take the 50, and now you start doing all that across the board. And now you're really up Bleep Creek without an order, right? Once that starts
out. Yeah, so it's going to have, like I said, it's going to have to be somebody with the deep pockets and the conviction. To just say this is not going to stand. This is not how we're going to do business. It may be a major property manager or somebody like that, but somebody's going to have to do it. And sort of swat away some of these some of the people that are just inclined to seize the moment from a lawsuit standpoint.
I think you're going to.
It just needs to happen.
I think it's going to happen.
Unless Congress wants to pass some kind of immunity, but I think that's a battle that's not likely to be won on one side or the other. It's probably one of those things that's going to wind up in never making it to a vote.
If you start seeing cities the size of Chicago, New York, a year from now, not open, and I think those people might be able to agree on something. I mean, what desperation is, what is it? What did Adam Cartwright say on Bonanza one time? Most acts of heroism are really acts of quiet desperation.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll go with that. But, you know, if it's a year from now, sorry, already roundly screwed.
When you talk about the different stuff and the different things you talked about with people and you see how things are heading, I had an uncle who was a fighter pilot. I mean, and become a painter after that. But guys in World War II just came back and just got their regular jobs. I don't know why he didn't go to college. I think his family had, he had to go to work anyway. We used to drive around. He was almost like an addition to the Ten Commandments. He would say, "Tom, whenever you wonder if something you should do something, or when you see somebody else doing something, just ask yourself. Take a second and ask yourself." What if everybody behaved that way? Would it be a good thing or would it be chaos? And if the answer is chaos, you shouldn't do it.
Yes, that sounds like something one of our parents would have told
us. Yeah. Well, this is in a period when my dad wasn't around.
Common sense.
Yeah. I mean, he'd see somebody like flying through a red light, like you see now. He goes, "What would the traffic look like if everybody did that?" Well, like that's what's happening now. Everybody is doing that.
Yeah.
But I just wonder, Kevin, do we have this? I mean, I more and more, and it's not just young people, it's older people. If you point something out, the first thing they say is, well, is it illegal? And yet, I was at James Madison, whoever wrote the Constitution said, if we ever lose our morality, this piece of paper isn't worth squat.
Yeah, because there is a difference between legal and ethical, and I think as a society we have lost a whole lot of that emphasis on ethical, because you're right, a lot of the times is hey, it's legal, you can't do anything about it. Well,
it's even worse, it's not illegal.
You know,
it's not
ass, I suppose, but
yeah, well, it's not prohibitive, so it must be okay. I mean, just like the argument with the offshore tax stuff. Well, it's not illegal, but it doesn't say anywhere in there, by the way, take your company overseas, even though all the business is here, you know, create a cost center over there, and charge your cost center a bunch of money, even though nobody's there. Well, it's not illegal. Well, no, it's not illegal, but it's also not permitted either. It just slipped through. Well, that means it's legal. Okay.
Well, and where that leads you is into a mindset is that then any behavior we want, we have to make a law.
Yeah, well, absolutely. There has to be a law.
And is that where we want to be? I would contend the answer is no.
Well, you know, what's interesting, Kevin, and this, I will not mention any of the places, but what you're seeing in the city now with this outdoor stuff. Well, first of all, last night, my buddy Greg and I stopped for a quick adult beverage at Lago's because they're only going to open a week and we love the people there. So get a load of this. These guys, they have this outside, you know, they got maybe 10 tables, so they're not just knocking them dead. The city decides they're going to tear up their corner just as they open. So it's nothing but dust and...
Brilliant.
Brilliant, yeah. They're not happy. But just watching people come by. There were people, and even though the tables are, and there's still a big wide sidewalk, and you could easily be 8-10 feet away from somebody on the sidewalk, people sitting down. There were people wearing masks that actually walked around the whole thing into the street. We've got those people so terrified. In the street, I saw people biking by with masks on, a couple of guys jogging by. I mean, we've pushed this so far. I mean, and one thing I will absolutely say, because I do this, I mean, I have done it for a while, and so has Maddie, it's not what you say, it's what people hear. And if you say something that you don't think anybody's going to pick up on, I mean, this is maybe isn't me, because I'm not nobody, but if you're the Surgeon General and you say something just to prove a point or to push a point or something, there's going to be people that take that as gospel, and you can't talk them out of it 5 years later. I mean, there's going to be people that this COVID will be hopefully dead and gone someday. There's still going to be people walking around people in the street 15 feet away with a mask on.
And yelling at anybody else who doesn't have one.
Yeah, I mean, we've reached that. I mean, what I'm saying, I think we've at the level in Chicago here. I think the entire population, if it's legal problems or whatever it is, I honestly don't see this getting anywhere near. I thought for sure that by now, if we didn't ingrain it in people, that things would be returning somewhat to normalcy. Kevin, it's getting worse. It's not getting better.
What's getting worse?
I'm saying that the
we're reopening everything.
Where? I'm talking about the downtown area.
Everything's reopening as far as even bars that don't serve food are reopening.
That's what I'm trying to say here. That's the tout.
No, that's not the tout. That's what's happening.
Still,
you're saying it's getting worse. I'm saying it's reopening.
Okay, it's not worse than it was.
It can't be both.
It can't be. It wasn't worse than it was, but I'm saying that.
So it's not getting worse.
The pace of getting better is not enough to turn the spigot back on, is what I'm saying. Then Dan says they're up from one person on his car in Rock Island to three. So yes, I'm not going to argue with you that it's getting better. But you just said
it was getting worse.
Yeah, but I'm saying the extensions of buildings, instead of going months now, they're going 2 and 3 months. That part I meant is getting worse. I mean, we're talking. I don't think you're going to see baseball. You're in the U.S. Open. We're how many months into this?
Yeah, but I don't think baseball is a COVID issue. I think it's a. I think they're negotiating next year.
It's completely a money issue in baseball.
All right, but
it's all money.
But I'm saying the U.S. Open now. That's going to be 6 months after COVID. We can't find a way.
I will say that you're saying after COVID, it's not gone. I mean, it's not.
I know that. Oh,
it's
I know
not
that.
Over. So I wouldn't say after COVID. That doesn't make any sense.
I'm stumbling here, as you can probably tell. What I'm saying is there's no way you're going to go from a U.S. Open with nobody in the place in September to a normal Masters in April. We keep looking out and saying, okay, by then it's going to be
Why
okay.
Why not? The U.S. Open is in New York. The Masters is in Georgia.
Okay.
I wouldn't call that an apples-to-apples comparison.
What I'm saying is maybe you're not seeing what I'm seeing during it because you got this, you're working on some other stuff, but I'm saying maybe the extensions
I'm just
of places.
You can get your point across without making stuff up. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not making stuff up.
You just said it was getting worse. You're saying baseball is not coming back, which is not COVID related. You can make your point because I agree with it that people are way overreacting to this without just spouting out stuff that's not true. That's all I'm saying.
What I'm saying things are getting worse is in the areas where people are still gathered together, your downtown business areas where the money used to be made. I understand that Tripoli's open and it wasn't 2 weeks ago.
But you also have to understand that the world has shifted technologically and people can work from home and not miss a beat. These businesses downtown are not going out of business.
I think a lot of them are.
I think that from a rent perspective and property management are getting hurt big time, no doubt about it. But the major sectors, financial sectors and technology sectors and different things like that, they're just working from home.
Right,
now people that like my wife's business, whose customers are all in the hospitality industry, they've been decimated, no doubt about it. But that happened a few months ago when people stopped using hotels. Airline industries have been affected. We all know that. But that stuff is hopefully starting to turn the corner and getting better.
And what I'm going to say, and this, I'm getting to this, and if you look in our business, if you talk to people at FINRA, if you talk to people at Exchange, if somebody tries to apply for a new firm, if you look at the markets, you look at the market, the S&P's jumping all over the place, you look at individual option markets. Anybody who says that this is normal is out of their friggin' mind.
Who said it was normal?
I'm saying the idea that everybody working at home, it hasn't had any effect. It has.
No one said it didn't have an effect.
Okay, but
I'm just saying
businesses
are not going to rush back to reopening when they have a full workforce that's working every day.
And you also, but my point is, they're not, they might be working, but they're not doing the job is what I'm saying.
How do you know that?
Well, let's put it this way. If you have a new member join your firm, you can't give the fingerprints to anybody at FINRA. There's nobody there. And yet they come after you and say, where are the fingerprints?
No one's hiring. You're right about that. No one's hiring new people.
It's kind of missing my point. What I'm saying is...
I get your point. I'm just saying that it's a nuanced thing. It's not... I mean, every business that I associate with is being very conservative on reopening because they can operate completely working from home, so why take the risk?
I started out by saying that this conservatism now is not a two-week thing where we'll shut down for 15 days and see what happens. Then it's 30. I'm saying places are now making 4 and 5 month decisions. So in that regard, I think it's getting worse. I can name you from last night 3 firms that aren't planning on being back this year.
The companies that need to reopen are being allowed to reopen. The companies that feel they don't need to reopen are being more conservative in their reopening strategy.
And what I'm saying is, in the places that I deal with, okay, that don't feel they need to reopen, they better think again, because their service is nowhere near what it was.
That could very well be. And at that point, then they're gonna have to make a decision that they better reopen and return to work. I mean, and
you,
they will.
You high tech people and you millennial people that know more about this than me. We, the people, after 9/11, spent millions of dollars, millions, on hardening the Federal Reserve Building, because it was a building that is, we can't do without, okay? And they take check deliveries there. There's trucks coming there all day long with canceled checks, with money that they recycle.
Twenty years ago, we couldn't work from home.
Okay, I'm saying that stuff still happens, man. There's still... Now, for every one of these guys to be at home, you're telling me that they're doing as good a job as they were 3 months ago?
I can't speak for the Federal Reserve. I have no idea, nor can you. So I don't know. All I can speak for is you're asking about a lot of the downtown businesses, and I can tell you because I work in one of them, and a lot of my friends and colleagues and peers work in, and they're
but
being...
But your clients
they're
are overseas.
Some of them are. Yeah. They're taking a very conservative approach because they can. Now, for the businesses that can't, they're reopening 100%. They have been.
Nobody when the city decided to open things back up again, I think Mayor Lightfoot is appalled by the lack of return. Since when she thinks she's got it open enough where people should come back to work, what I'm saying is they're not.
If you have a retail store, if you have a bar, if you have a restaurant, you are back to work and have been.
I will tell you that I was looking around this weekend. I needed some new duds. Every L.L. Bean store is still closed. Every who's the other guys? Duluth Trading, Land's End.
Not because of the government telling them to be, because they've made that decision for whatever reason. Because they're probably doing gangbusters online, if judging by retail sales being up. Dick's Sporting Goods has chosen not to reopen in Chicago to this point. Another example, but their online sales have done so well that
I went to the Walmart.
They're not being forced. Isn't being forced.
I went to the Sam's, and they think for their liability. There were more people telling people to stay apart and washing carts than there were customers. I mean,
that answered your question about why aren't they
reopening. Not my experience here.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying, Kevin. I started this whole discussion by saying, if you look at downtown Chicago, I'm getting a very jaundiced view of the world. I mean, we're a month after opening, and my brother tells me there's three people on a train car instead of one. That tells me that we're not exactly reopening.
Well, I know you got to go to break, so do that, and let's pick this up, because I think some contrasting might make some sense.
Yes, I think you can make sense of Maddie and me. If you can do that, you're a good man. S&P futures up 18. We're September now. It's now the front month. NASDAQ futures up 52. Dow futures up 150. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter: the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, don't be excited. Yeah, it's not Tom Howell. Just remember on the board, we have Mr. Kevin O'Neill as well. SP Futures up 19. NASDAQ Futures up 58. Dow Futures up 159. Let me refresh here for the European stuff. Again, the word of the day is that we, between the buying corporate bonds yesterday and the, well, like Kevin said, it was the actual test that came out on this one steroid. Seems to be helping people that are in the worst throes, the people that were on the ventilators and so forth. And I think it's probably fair to say that people aren't as afraid of getting the coronavirus if you don't think you're going to die from it. I mean, if it's just a flu for 2 weeks, I think people would think differently about it, wouldn't you, Maddie?
No doubt.
So that's where the, you know, that's kind of where the plus the
not that I really want the flu for 2 weeks.
No, but I mean, I've had it before and I'm still here, you know.
Especially
so,
in the summer.
Yeah, well, so what they say, a summer cold is a different animal, wasn't that commercial years ago? Anyway, we have over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 78.6%. Everybody's up here, but not like yesterday. We were up huge yesterday. FTSE up 37.6%. CAC around up 54. That's a full 1%. Asia, Nikkei actually down, wow, down 126. These guys were up like 7-something yesterday, so I wouldn't worry too much about that 100 today. Shanghai up 4, call that flat. Hang Seng up 137. This is a review from yesterday's big rally. We had the Dow was, so is this one wants to come up here. Doesn't seem like it. There we go. Dow was up 526. S&Ps were up 58. NASDAQ was up 169. So they NASDAQ was actually the laggard a little bit, but they were still pretty darn high. 10-year, 0.75. The Bund, minus 0.40. So that's another one to the positive. Japan, 0.01 positive. Oil, we've got still another down another 70 cents, 37.68. It almost broke through 40 last week, and now it's kind of heading the other way. Brent down 59 cents, 40.37. Natural gas, 161. RBOB, 119. That's down a penny. Gold, down 11 bucks, 17.25. Silver up 5 cents, 17.70. Maddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, and sports.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have a couple of issues to report already this morning. On the outbound Kennedy right at the Hubbard Street Tunnel, there's an accident involving a semi that's now been moved to the right shoulder, and that's causing a slowdown in the right lane through the Hubbard Street Tunnel on the outbound side of 9094, so keep that in mind. No issues on the inbound side of the Kennedy. Edens looks good, as does the Eisenhower. Bit of a slow spot on the Stevenson this morning, as traffic has been ramping up this week on some of the expressways, including the Stevenson, and you're getting a little bit of a slowdown near Cicero. Dan Ryan, I-57, and the Bishop Ford have been all quiet this morning. Off the expressways, we had an earlier crash with entrapment and injuries. Four were transported in critical condition, and one was reported as a fatality. This happened at about 4 a.m. this morning on 87th Street between Kedzie and Sacramento. And an investigation is still underway this morning that has 87th Street mostly blocked.
I live two blocks from there.
Yeah, so a high-speed crash that happened this morning.
Speed limit's 45. I'm going to say They might have been going a little more than 45. Just saying.
I would say you're probably right on that. Other than that, we're looking pretty good. Only other crash in the area is out in the southwest suburbs, Belmont Road at Maple Avenue. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, lots of sunshine, another nice day. A bit warmer than yesterday. Downtown will reach a high of 79. We'll touch the mid-80s further inland. For the city, it'll be a sunshine with a high of 79. A bit more humidity than yesterday, but still not too bad. Right now it's crystal clear and 69 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny with a high of 103 today. Right now it's clear and 78. On this day in sports history, Chief, June 17th, 1960, you probably don't remember this one, but you could, Ted Williams hit his 500th home run on this date in 1960. And then I know you guys will both remember this. On this date in 1994, it was the anniversary of OJ in the White Bronco.
Wow.
On this date, June 17th, 1994, the Los Angeles Police Department chased O.J. Simpson and his white Bronco for 1.5 hours throughout Los Angeles, and it was, of course, telecasted on national TV for all of us to watch, and I remember that very well.
Watching the index pit.
I was I can't remember if I was in summer school or some sort of like day camp or something. I was like 11 years old. And somebody wheeled in a TV and we all watched it.
Oh, God. We missed
That kicked off a long, weird episode, or at least it seemed weird at the time. Now it's, you know, on the weird scale, it's probably pretty low. But, God, you know, starting, I mean, that was the perfect way to sort of kick off the whole OJ thing, because that trial then was just... number one is everybody was watching it. Everybody, yep. Everybody who couldn't watch it live went home and watched the replay on court TV.
I think a slice
in the
of
evening. And when I say everybody, that does not include me. I didn't care, but I knew so many people that watched it like they were watching. Oh, I don't know, Breaking Bad every night or something like that. It was a cult.
A slice of America got lost there, Kevin. One of the contributors to the show, Robin. Back when she lived in Chicago, was one of the... they still have the Big Sister, Big Brother programs? I don't know if they do.
I think so, yeah.
Well, she was she was a Big Sister. Rabbit's a great lady. So at one point, they take all the kids that you're dealing with, you're sistering, or the brothers you're brothering, and they have a big... You know, they all get together, and they try and get a speaker. And she said O.J. Simpson was a speaker... 90% of the kids are African American. She said there wasn't a dry eye in the place because he was spectacular. He was spectacular. Big, huge man, good looking guy, very well spoken, and just talking about what you need to do to get ahead in the world, how the world is your oyster. And she said he was unreal. And then to hear, then this few years later, to see the guy in jail is like, God bless. You know, it's just not right. I mean, I let you talk, and Maddie's absolutely correct that I'm stumbling around on this, and this is why when you watch TV, nobody has more than a one word or a one sentence thing they say, and they come to the next guy. What I'm trying to do, even though this is radio, is trying to piece together what I think. If things don't come together in the downtown, what I always try and do on the show is try and say one thing affects another, and affects another, affects another. What I'm trying to put together here is if these dates continue to expand. And Matt's right. Things are more open than they were. You see 10 people at a bar. Who knows if they're making money because the place holds 40, whatever. But the point is, we are making baby steps. And I'm also seeing companies taking jump steps saying, oh, it's going to be another 3-4 months. But what if the downtown comes back only halfway a year from now? We're talking about buildings that are paying $1 million in taxes. Now, does that mean the tax doesn't get paid? Because Lori Lightfoot's spending a bunch of money that she doesn't have, so is Jay. Does that mean that now 1,000 homes go up $1,000 in their property taxes on people that have been out of work? Does that mean Matty Weber's and my rent go up $500 a month? I mean, there's everything I'm talking about, or every day I'm talking about, is dollars someplace. This all is a finely tuned watch until it's not. I mean, if all of a sudden everybody's afraid to take the public transportation, what is the capacity of downtown if everybody decides to drive? a quarter of what it normally would be, a third? I don't even know. I mean, what I'm trying to say is all this stuff comes together. It's like a big swirling whatever. It's like a human body. If one part doesn't work, guess what? Maybe another part's not going to work. And what I'm seeing in our leadership is not any sense of this. How all this matches up with something else. If the schools aren't working, guess what? The people living at home, I don't care what they think they're doing. If they're at home teaching their kids all day long, then they're not working. Sorry, Maddie. You know, what I'm saying is all, I mean, you can't have schools not being in session and expect people working from home on the same day. I don't think. I mean, I'm saying, I'm not
well,
sensing.
I know that's very, that has been very difficult because I've had some students who had to deal with that. You know, normally they would be, working and going to school, and the kids would go to school, and that was life for them. And then all of a sudden, it was I'm working because many of them were still working. I'm working. I'm going to school, and the kids are home, and I have to see to them, getting their educational activities done. So yeah, I think you're right. If the kids are home, that's a big challenge to people who are working from home. There's all kinds of other distractions. Some people work at home better than others. Personally, I've always gone to the office for 40 plus years. I've been going to the office. So that's what's normal for me, and to not be going to the office for a while, it wasn't as productive, but I think I've gotten the drill down for working from home. But I still miss it, and there is still a certain kind of productivity that I think I'm missing that I'm not getting right now that I did before. So you're right about that. In many ways, it's different. We just need to get the hang of it. In other ways, it's never going to be as productive. But I think the ultimate point, and something that you were where you were going, is that whatever the old balance was, it's all moved.
Yep. Oh yeah.
And whether it's economically, because now all of a sudden we can't go back to normal, because sooner or later we got to pay for all this. And this can't work indefinitely. So, whether it's now, whether it's after the November elections that we start to deal with it, or whether it's 5 years from now, I don't know what that's going to be because leadership is a stretch of a term for what we have in this country now across the board, and then so we have that to deal with, but then. With work at homes, with, let's just say a lot more work at home is going to be a permanent situation, because it very well may be. But that doesn't mean it's not going to take time for companies to rework themselves into that model. And there will be productivity hits along the way.
Well, I just wonder when you are...
Anytime there's a big shift, it takes time for whatever normal is going to be to take hold and be good, be productive. And there's going to be false starts, and there's going to be people who do it wrong first, and then they're going to do it right the second time, or they're going to do it wrong a couple of times before they get it right. This, we didn't have time to really test this out and see what works. We just did it, and when you just when you don't have the time to just give things a trial run, work out some kinks on any of that kind of stuff. If you don't have the time to do that, then there's going to be a problem.
Well, there's going to be
things that just go wrong.
And I admit to being, an old fuddy-duddy in regarding, I don't really trust, since this has been my life, has been every firm I've worked for, it's been money and things like that, and making sure you ask the right money questions. I trust not at all, to be honest with you. Jay Pritzker, Lori Lightfoot, Donald Trump, half the people I heard about in Congress yesterday. I don't trust Lori to say, well, we're going to do this for a week. Does she have people working? And maybe she does. I'd love it if she came out and said, by the way, I got this all covered, don't worry. But I don't think she does. I mean, what if we hang and we don't have this show, we don't have that show. And by the way, we're going to open up bars to 25% capacity. I hope she has somebody walking in afterwards saying, Mayor, by my calculation, these guys can't pay their taxes at 25%. I mean, it's nice as a start, but if you don't get them up to 75% by the end of the year, or you can't, if there's a COVID comes back, or it gets worse, or we get something else, who the hell knows? But don't expect these checks to show up. At least be prepared for what to expect. And I really don't see that, Kevin. Or at least it's not being communicated to us. I mean, Jay Pritzker, in one sense, he's bitching about the president and can't stand the guy on the phone, which I can understand. And 2 weeks later, they're making an application to the federal government saying we can't cover our unemployment checks, send us a loan. Well, how do you do both things? I couldn't. You know, I mean, right?
Well, yeah. especially because you have a pretty thin-skinned guy who is not inclined to help people who don't want to play nicely with him. So, yeah.
But I mean, I think somewhere along the line, the society has to know that. I mean, I can't believe that these firms I'm talking about that are going to go back. Let me ask you, Manny, if you have a firm like you guys, and I'm not asking you to be president of your place, if everything is working swimmingly with everybody at home, when are they going to tell the building pound sand?
That's a great question. My company, by the way, wants everyone back in the office.
Yeah, I think they do too.
I think most companies do. I just think that they're not going to rush to it for, you know, being liable. And when they don't have to, when they can sort of get by, at worst, working from home. But I do think that decisions will be made on our building specifically, and I would not be surprised if we don't renew our lease, because half the workforce will work from home more often or permanently. I absolutely believe that.
Well, you're not privy to the, and I
we're in a very expensive building on Madison.
Well, I didn't know until our friend Jan Flanagan, who obviously is an expert on this stuff, came on and said, in these agreements, there's all kinds of caveats in there, especially if you're a big anchor tenant. I don't know if you guys have, you know, 10 floors of a place like General Black does, but
we have 3.
Okay, well, that's a lot. I mean, I don't know. I don't know right now if you guys are telling your tenant, by the way, we're paying 60% because these 3 outs are in the lease, and by the way, they're all right there. You know, the building shut down, this and that. I didn't even know that stuff was in there, Kevin, but I've never signed a big lease like that. But Janet Flanagan was saying, oh, yeah, I mean, and my buddy Mark Duffy was saying that he went through the General Black, somehow he got a copy of it or whatever, not a copy, everybody was reading parts of it, and he said they're well within their rights to be paying, like, a lot less. Now, the question is whether it's $3.8 million or whether it's, you know, $2.8 or something, and that's going to be fought out in court between them and the building. But there's no doubt that based on their lease, they don't have to send the full check. I'm wondering if you're
the
same.
You know, as a law firm, that they were going to cover all the angles. They've seen it all. They've written and negotiated leases for other people. So, you know, that doesn't surprise me at all that Jenner and Block has all those provisions in it. The question is, do many of the others? Because there's a lot of people that do commercial leases, and they basically just sign the boilerplate. So that's a problem.
But I wonder
that's a different problem, and that's their problem. There are out there, there are plenty of virtual companies. I know two where I have friends who run them. One's in software development, it works well for them. But Christo has people working all over the country for him, and they have been meeting via telephone way longer than, you know, Zoom or any of the other video conference technologies have been around. That works well for them. I know another one, they're in consulting. They do quality management consulting. And in their case, same deal. People scattered all over the country. The HR director lives here in South Bend. And she's on my advisory board, so I know the company pretty well, and same thing. It's, in fact, it'd probably be pretty cool to get somebody on who
but we have,
you know, I'll ask Wendy if she wants to come on and talk about how that has worked for them, because they probably don't have as much business as they did you know, they probably had to scale back because you can't, you know, a lot of places weren't letting them on site, but I'm, you know, they've been running their business that way for a long time, so it might make a whole lot of sense for you to, you know, for people to hear about that and learn from that, their experience.
Well, I wonder if it's, you know, since we have states and cities that are, I mean, the big leg of this tax stool is property taxes. If, you know, somebody finds out that, you know, Matt and Jill are working from home through some kind of a random sample, okay, now it's a commercial building, and by the way, your taxes are double. I mean, somehow,
but you're not zoned for commercial, so you have to cease and desist.
Well, that's another issue. But, you know, I have a question for you guys. I was thinking about this the other night, because only because of you, Kevin. You were saying people were, you know...
Yeah, it's always because of me. All my fault.
Well,
okay, go on.
Didn't you say that the RV business was actually doing pretty well?
They are, and let me see. Let me check the see if I have the numbers.
Well, my question, I wouldn't mind...
Check. It's just that the last month hasn't been out for a while, so or it hasn't been out yet. But I've been trying to watch every day, and I didn't look this morning. There's the RV shipments.
Well, my question is, listeners, if you want to opine in on this, because I absolutely do not know the answer. If I said, you know, give me some time, because obviously I love what I'm doing and I like my clients, what if one of these days I just say that the market gets even crazier and I just go screw it and be John Steinbeck and I put the camper in my pickup truck and put my little piggy bank and a little safe in there or something. Do I have to have a state? Do I have to live in a state? I don't mean District of Columbia.
I live in a state of confusion. Does that count?
Yeah.
State of despair.
But I mean, do I have to officially be, say I'm from Illinois or Florida or Iowa or someplace? What if I just drove around in my Winnebago and stayed in it?
Interesting question. Don't know what to tell you. Yeah, and as I checked, May numbers aren't out, so you know I only have the Aprils, and the Aprils, of course, were a steep drop, which is too bad because actually the RV industry was up year over year in January and February. Then it fell off in March, and then it just plummeted in April. But yeah, everything I'm hearing is that starting in May and into June that they have been you know, kind of heads down, you know, churn them out.
Well, I know there's some states that have Nevada is one of them. Oregon, I think, is another one where there's like a building with, you know, 5,000 post office boxes where every, you know, all kinds of businesses, and I assume people, that's their, quote, address. But does a P.O. box make you a citizen of Nevada? If that's the only place anybody can find you?
Well, yeah, I would imagine that anybody who lives full-time in an RV and travels a lot probably has established residency in a no-income tax state. Because you don't have property tax.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about that. So you want to be in a no-income tax state. So, yeah, you're going to be in a, you know, a Texas or you know, Florida, one of, you know, something
we
like
actually,
that.
We actually drove out to, talk about a stupid story, Manny. What's the name of that town outside of Las Vegas? It's about 50 miles. So JD gets some hair up his behind. We got to go to this bar. It's historical. So we head out to this little town. I mean, little town. And there's this bar. It's very famous because didn't Carol Lombard die in a plane crash? And was it Clark? Whatever her boyfriend was, it Clark Gable, one of those guys, sat at the same bar stool for 72 hours or 60 hours and drank until they found the body. Said, "I'm not leaving until we find her." And he's leaving, meaning the bar stool. And
that's what I call taking a serious stand.
Yeah. So, but in the town, Maddie, it's unbelievable. Little town that there is, you can pull in and I'll use the term Winnebago, and just pull off the side of the road and like live there. And you're not considered a citizen until you ask to be hooked up to the water. Then all of a sudden, you got to become a citizen. If you want actual running water in your Winnebago, God. Anyway, what do you think of the Fed's going to be back on the hill again today, Kevin? Does any of this filter down to the people by you? I mean, What does everybody think about the market? I mean, what do you hear? I mean, obviously you're going.
Well, obviously people care about their portfolios and their retirement funds and so on, and that's part of it. But from the general investment standpoint, you know, and how this other than you know your personal wealth, how this affects the market is really not significant when you don't have a lot of either companies that aren't publicly traded or companies that don't move with the market very much.
And the people in your area, the companies, I mean, you've indicated before they were fairly able to participate in some of the government largesse, weren't they?
Yeah, sure.
Sure,
especially the and there were any number of them that converted over to creating you know PPE and things like and of course in Wakarusa, which is just south of Elkhart County in Kosciuszko County, that's one of the centers of medical device manufacturing anyway, so they switched over to ventilators pretty cleanly. So a lot of those industries not only participated, but they also, this was throughout the state of Indiana because there's so much manufacturing. They also all learned to shift gears and create products that were needed early on in the process. So that's why I had, the unemployment rate was really high, and there's no doubt about that, but. By the same token, there were a lot of factories that stayed in business, and then especially the students I had that were working in those factories and generally available at in the evening, many cases they were spilling over and working longer days than ever before.
Really?
So it's interesting when you look at Elkhart County, the wages were the unemployment rate was way high. But the wages also went up, the average wages for the people who were working, because they were so much time and a half factored in there.
Yeah, you saw that in the last labor. Kevin, thank you. Talk to you on Friday. SP Futures dropped some here. We're only up 11. As if you're up 48, we're still up, but not like we were. Be right back, Mr. Russell Rhodes.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. Do you know when the unofficial start of real estate season is in the Chicago area? It's actually right after the Super Bowl. Yep, it's the time when the guys will finally get off the couch and the families start looking for homes in the area. Now, interest rates also have been hovering around 4%, and the selection of properties are great. And if you're a first-time home buyer, there is an Illinois program that allows you to purchase a home for only 1% down. And that also applies to anyone who hasn't owned a home in the the past 3 years. So if you're thinking about it, this is the perfect time. Call or email me, and I will send you a free list of homes designed to your specifications in your area. My phone number is 708-349-3456, or you can email me, AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com. That's AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now.
There's something happening here.
Well, we're back to Stocks and Jocks. Anthony Mowry, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We have Mr. Russell Rhodes. S&P futures up 14. They got down. We're only up 11. Now they bounced back a little bit. And there clearly is a bid under the market. I mean, whether it's the Fed or people think it's the Fed or whatever, but there is. Dow futures up 150. Russell, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Happy I'm doing Wednesday. Fine, except I'm doing major stumbles here. I'm trying to explain my concerns about sort of the entire society having sort of an end date here. And how things work, and where they're not going to work, and when you start giving a picture that big, when you're just talking on radio, Maddie's correct. I'm stumbling around, so I'm trying to find an end date. When this got me going on this is when I was listening to United Airlines stuff yesterday, Maddie. We talked about that. I'm trying to figure out because I have investors calling and saying, "What about these airlines?" I'm going, and Russell, I'm having, and this is what's causing me to be such a stumble bleep, Maddie. These guys, the stock is up over 40. They appear to be backed on loans. Somehow or other, and I can't figure this out, maybe you guys can help me. How the hell did they get a $5 billion loan with their frequent flyer miles program as collateral? Man, isn't frequent flyer miles, shouldn't that be a liability, not an asset? But I didn't want to go there. Anyway, that allegedly was the, and they're losing $40 million a day. They hope to be down to $30 million a day by the end of the third quarter. And I look at the downtown area, and I see people not here. So, but I see rent, I guess, still being paid. Taxes still being paid. I wonder where's the edge of that envelope, and what happens when we get there, Russell? I mean, there's going to come a day if people are not back flying, that I don't care if you're Daddy Warbucks, $30 million a day takes you under. And I wonder if we're going to get there as I see company after company kind of extending the time where they're not traveling. There are no conventions. There's no, I mean, we lost another couple conventions yesterday, right, man? I mean, are people thinking there are going to be conventions next year? I mean, I'm worried that we're getting to the point of whatever no return is, and whatever that point is, I don't know what's on the other side. That's my concern. Is that somewhat more coherent, Manny? Is it somewhat more coherent?
Yes, it is.
All right.
Well, you stopped just making up blatant lies and started actually supporting here. I mean, the fact is I agree with you. I think that the great thing about being an independent person, which I consider myself, is that I can look at Republicans and say they're idiots, and I can look at Democrats and say they're idiots. And on this whole issue, I tend to think people on the left are wrong. I think it's way over exaggerated. I think that, yes, we're seeing some spikes as we reopen, but of course you're going to see spikes after you shut down for 3 months. And we have more testing. So of course the numbers are going to be a little bit bigger, but they're still like a rounding error at this point. They're so far under, almost 0%. It's not even worth being afraid of. And yet, people will yell at you on the streets. Businesses are scared to reopen because they don't want to get sued. And it's crazy. So I agree with your greater point, but you don't have to throw out blanket statements that aren't true to support it.
You just did the same thing I did.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did, because when I say things aren't getting any better, you're right.
You said things are getting worse. Okay. That's what you said.
What I meant to say on that, this is where we're having a problem.
And that's impossible when we're reopening.
I said that too broadly, okay? What I meant was some of the people now that are extending their times to not go back to work, instead of being 30-day chunks, they're 60 or 90-day chunks. That's what I meant, Matty.
Well, private business can do whatever they want.
Right.
Who cares?
But I'm saying we started out at 15 days, then 30, then another 30. When somebody says in June, hey, don't even show up till the end of the year, I'm like,
that's private business. Who cares? Why do you care? They can choose that. You can care about the government doing that.
I care because at some point they're not going to pay the rent, and they're not going to pay the mortgage, and they're not going to pay the taxes, and it's going to come down on the rest of us. Every single time somebody gets a break, every time some company doesn't pay what they're supposed to pay or some person doesn't, you will learn it comes down on you. You make up the difference because you're not one of those people, and neither is Russell and neither am I. So it concerns me if the entire downtown area, which has been the jewel of Chicago, that Rahm Emanuel, you know, spent all his money on a Magnificent Mile and the amount of companies that came here. If you get McDonald's and Google and everybody turn around and get their ass out of here, this city looks a lot different. A lot different in terms of cash. And if there's no cash, there's no city. Am I right or wrong, Russell?
You're right.
I think you're right
absolutely
about that, but
right.
I think you moved the goalposts on the argument. That's not what we're talking about.
What I'm saying is the entire argument all comes together. Everything you're saying, everything I'm saying, it's just a little, whether we're talking about a microcosm or a macrocosm, it's the same argument.
I'm simply saying that businesses are going to be conservative about this because they don't want to get sued. And the
right.
businesses that have to reopen their offices have already done that. And the businesses, or most of them have, and the businesses that can still operate while letting their staff work from home are taking a conservative approach because they can.
Right, now
right or wrong. Now, they may pay for it down the line. I don't know. We'll find out. But that's the decision they're making.
Well, if Russell, Russell's with Loyola University, are you guys going to open, Russell?
Yeah, we're going to open. We finally made
okay.
public our contingent plan. And we're following the Notre Dame model a little bit. We're going to get back to school on the normal day that we were planning on getting back to school. We're not going to have a fall break. And when everybody goes home for Thanksgiving, they're not coming back.
All right. Well, am I, so
and then we're going to figure out how, you know, we're going to figure out what phase we're at. We're going to, if I teach, I've got three classes, two classes of 40 and one class of 50. And we're going to figure out how to divide them up into smaller groups to adhere to whatever, you know, criteria they're giving us at the time. If you're not supposed to have more than 15 people in a room, then I'm going to divide things up and do some stuff online. But, yeah, we're going back. We're definitely going back.
Well, how do you mentally, how do the professors, of which you are one, how do you go from I'm serious about this because what I'm seeing now is the reluctance is not necessarily in some areas of the country. It's not the government. It's the people. How are you guys going to go from having to have an appointment 2 days in advance to get in a building with only two people getting there to 6 weeks from now, come on in, it's everything's fine?
I keep waiting. There are rumors as to when they're going to start letting us back in the building as long as we're, I could go to work. If they let only employees in the building right now, I could go to work, wear a mask, and keep my distance from everybody else. You know, you have to think about it in terms of the people that work there versus the customers. They're not, the students, me and the customers, they're not that many, you know, employees, so we can all kind of stay away from each other if we want to. I think the next, whatever the next phase of opening is, I can't ever keep up with what all those rules are. Whatever the next phase of opening is, if we hit that one, then we get to start going back to work on a more regular basis.
Well, the rules don't apply to protesters or looters, you know that.
Oh, I know. I keep waiting for the spike that they associate that the people on the right get to associate with protesting versus the spike that's going to be associated with opening up too early in a place like Texas.
Yeah.
Are we going to have two different Johns Hopkins maps? One that is okay, this must be a protest related COVID case, and the other one, this must be they weren't cautious enough case.
It's hilarious. Yeah. It's so
I love
stupid.
That you got, we've got two different things that we can blame it on right now, and you automatically know how somebody's thinking they're going to vote based on which one they blame it on.
Well, have all the testing places, the drive-thru ones, have they all closed? A couple of them have, right? Because nobody was going
there. There's like eight on the north side that are still active.
They're still active? Okay, because the one by where Pearl is out and she's in Park Ridge or something, they closed. I think the one in Markham's still open. But, I mean, is anybody showing up? I mean,
now, that's a good question. I know that... one of my best friends, his wife, works at one on Ashland and Fullerton, and she said they did see a spike after the protests, of people coming in with symptoms. Now, what they found was most of them tested negative, which was interesting. But they were experiencing symptoms.
But people showed up.
And people showed up, after the protests, mm-hmm. and were worried that they got something, but the majority of them tested negative.
Is there a cold or other flu running around too, or no?
Well, there must be something. I mean,
yeah.
Not COVID.
So,
don't you think automatically, and it's kind of, don't you think automatically, the second that you're not feeling particularly well, that's where your mind's going to go?
Of course.
I wonder if it goes there a little bit less than it did 3 months ago.
Well, what I've found, just being on Twitter, is that people on the left or left leaning or people especially that are very far radically left. They believe that COVID is like the plague. And, that was the same group that was out protesting. And so if they felt anything, they probably ran to get tested. And it turns out like 99% of them, according to the person I know, all tested negative. I just don't understand why they're so in fear on this. I really don't. I think if you're in your 70s or 80s, you should absolutely be very cautious. I think if you have any sort of pre-existing respiratory conditions, you should be very cautious. I think everyone should be somewhat cautious and wear a mask in the store and you know, keep your distance when you can. But to just constantly live in fear and then shout down anyone else, it's just insane to me. I can't even understand
Manny, it. Manny, did this guy give you any of the details? When you go in there, it's still the swab, right? And they when do they let you know whether you got it or not?
I don't know.
But it's not right there. They call you, right?
I don't think it's right there. Yeah, I think it takes a
while. It's not right there. I almost went to the place on Ashton that you just mentioned, and then I just decided not to. But that place on Ashton, good Lord, if our health care was run like that, it would not be a political issue at all.
They're good.
They like pre-screen you that you've got like a 9-minute window where you drive up. They got that thing down to a science.
They were one of the first ones that opened, and I think in the country actually, and they've been cranking them out every day.
Do you need a?
Yeah, I mean they you know, there's it doesn't take any time. My brother-in-law who is a cancer survivor, he you know which puts him at high risk, and he actually works down at the Fed. He went and got tested early on, and he used that place.
No, you don't need a prescription.
Well, I'm familiar with it.
Originally, you needed something from your doctor. Now you can just go.
You never needed anything from your doctor.
Okay.
Not at this one. This one's actually basically you're paying for it yourself, I believe. And
there was one on the south side that you did.
Yeah, right. And there's like five or six others on the north side that are similar to this one. I'm
right.
Told.
So if they call you at home a day later and say, "Guess what, buddy, you got it," then what do they tell you to do? Stay home?
Yeah, isolate for 14 days.
And if
go in the basement for 14 days like they did to me here.
And if you get too bad, if your temperature gets too high, you're supposed to go to the hospital then, right?
I would say so.
But you're supposed to call them first so you don't just walk through the emergency room like some idiot, right?
And they make you, the ER, my wife had to go to the ER for something since all this was going on, and they sent you to the right or to the left depending on what you were there for.
That makes sense. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean... Like our before this started, as our friend Carl Dunninger said, as our hospitals have quote evolved, they were not set up for you to walk in with smallpox. They were set up for you to walk in with a heart attack or whatever, cancer. Or I guess you don't walk in with a bullet wound, do you? But well, you could.
Well, some people do.
Some people do. Yeah. I hope that it's not going to be the end of the year because I can't even imagine. Where all this money is going to come from, Russell? I mean, I just.
Well, unfortunately, I think the problem is when you say the end of the year, it's gonna. I assume there's going to be a seasonality thing to this, like the flu.
Yeah, except it doesn't seem to be.
And the end of the year is going to be a new flu season.
Well, Manny and I were talking about it on the way in. You would think Well, the lady here in the office who had it, she's come back today. It's her first day back. She's been home for like 2 months. She had symptoms, and the guy said to her, hey, you got it, because there's no other flu around. And that was 2 weeks ago. And maybe, like you say, Maddie, something else is around now. But Arizona, it's 110. We've been doing the weather every day, and they've got a spike. Florida, I mean, I don't know how big the spike is or the testing, but I guess it's really caused problems on the reservations, Manny, and Russell.
Yeah, I've heard that as well.
Yeah, it's a multi-generational area, and I don't know how good the hospitals and stuff are. Hopefully they're pretty good, but anyway, so Russell, what we have the Fed, now they're buying corporate bonds. I had an argument with a guy yesterday saying that, don't worry, the Fed knows just what they're doing. They're going to be... They have people who used to work for the big investment banks working at the Fed, and they'll do this just right. I mean, what are they doing just right? Well, the corporate bonds, they're higher than par, half of them, and they're buying them higher than par.
They're paying up, not getting a whole lot of yield out of those things.
Yeah,
they shouldn't. You know, should they really be paying higher than par for? I thought they were supposed to be. Supporting bonds of companies that we'd be a lot more concerned about.
Well, the argument...
But I guess it's across... I thought it was the high-yield market they were supposed to be going after.
Well, yeah, well, the argument degenerated into, aren't you aware that the Fed gives a big check to the Treasury every year? And I said, I'm very aware because I have adult beverages with people at the Fed that tell me that every time I see them. I said, but the idea, if you could create money out of nothing... Just write somebody a check, and even if they pay 1% interest, guess what? You make money, right? Even I can make money doing that. I mean, jeez. And I mean, does, without getting a shot at our president, but I will, does the president even know that if the Fed gets a negative interest rates like he wants them to, that instead of getting a check, he's going to get a bill from them?
Well, he won't necessarily get a bill from them, but the bonds will... My understanding, I looked into this a little bit more with respect to the negative interest rates over in Europe, and they typically issue these things. They end up trading down to a discount where they yield's not negative anymore, but it's not positive either, and they turn into a zero coupon bond where you're going to get your money back at the end.
Well, I guess I don't, you being the professor... Just to back up a little bit, so everybody knows the hell we're talking about. When the Treasury issues a bond or a company issues a bond or whatever, there's a par value, which is usually 100 or 1,000. It's usually 1,000, and then there's an interest rate on it, which is the coupon rate, and then there's the date that they're going to give the you can turn the bond in and get your money back, basically 30-year, 20-year, 10-year, whatever it is, and maybe there might be a callable version where after 15 years they can come pay. Power for it or a little over par or whatever it is. But there's all kinds of caveats in the bond. Now, if they say that the bond pays 2% and the Fed pays, whatever, $150 for the thing, and you're only going to get, and then at the end of the day, after all the interest and they get the money back for the bond, they're only going to get $145 and they just paid $150. Now you've got negative interest rate, correct?
Correct.
The bond didn't. But my question, I guess, to you, and I don't know the answer, is I just thought: were the bonds in Europe, were they ever issued negative, or did the central bank just go and buy them negative afterward? And people actually bought them negative?
I think that they were not issued negative, but they were bought negative.
Okay,
like you just said. So that's where when you say that you're buying a bond and you're having to write a check instead of receiving interest. You're receiving interest, and you're receiving a principal back at some point, but the present value of what you're going to get only makes sense if you apply a negative interest rate to it.
Yeah, just to show you how complicated this is, let's pick a normal world, Maddie. When can I say the world was normal ever? Let's pick a time. Say...
January of 2020.
Yeah, Matt Weber Inc. is going to go out for his hot dog business, and he's going to put a bond out there, and he's going to put a $1,000 bond out at 6%. Okay, the day the bond trades, the first day, Maddie's people are going to do the best they can, and they're going to say, The market value of this particular company, it's, you know, double A rating, blah, blah, blah. Let's say he's got to go to a hot dog stand. The interest rate should be 6%. The first day it trades, it's never going to be issued at exactly 1,000. Because on that day, the interest rate is going to be 5.97 or 6.02 or someplace. I mean, I'm going to say, what percentage of them land right on 6? Russell, like none? Or, you know, so that bond the first day, somebody is going to get, is going to pay either $999 for it or $1,001. So there's always a different price on the bond than the coupon of it. So you're going to get $1,000 back, but if the interest rate the day before, if the market rate of Maddie's company is 5.97, Maddie's going to get $1,002 for the bond. Right, Russell?
Mm-hmm.
So what you're trying to do is making your best guess on the 6%. So that bond now continues to trade. And there's the coupon rate, which is the 6%. And then whatever it trades at, if it trades at 110, the market rate is going to be, what, 5 or something?
The lower you pay for it. Yeah. Exactly.
To give you an example, when I first started trading for it, interest rates were really huge. The 30-year bond, there's a specific bond, Maddie, that is the 30-year bond, the traded to CBOT. And at that time, it was 8.5% was the coupon on the bond, and the bond was trading $0.65 on the buck, which if you use the 65 cents, which brought you up to the, what, 12.8, 13% that the market rate actually was. Right, Russell?
Yeah.
But can you imagine that, Maddie, an 8.5% bond trading for two-thirds of its value?
You could lock that in too. You could be, you could be 30 years old and you could buy one of those bonds and know that you're going to make 8% a year and maybe get to retire at 60.
Well, you're going to make 12. Because you only gave them $650, they're going to give you a G back. That's not bad. Not to mention the interest all along the way. So yeah, I mean, the bond market is very complicated. So the question is, what the hell is the Fed buying? And how are they keeping the information secret? In Europe, I mean, if they're going to go out and buy a Mercedes bond at 110, I mean, are we going to run out and try and buy it at 109 so they buy it from us at 110? I think the answer is yes, right, Russell? I mean, that's the way the game is played.
Yeah.
No, but what's the end of all this? I mean, if Trump comes up with another $1 trillion infrastructure, to put it bluntly, he doesn't have any money. That money is going to have to be floated by the Fed. There's no way they're going to borrow that trillion.
And the cash flow is drying up, too.
Yeah. But they're not going to go out and borrow that money from the Maddie Webbers and Chiefs and Russells of the world. Because that would defeat the purpose. So now the Fed's up to what? Going to be up to $11 trillion at some point.
They're going to keep having to prop things up until we get back to some sort of normalcy.
All right, so what if, and I guess the theme of this show today, if you even think of one, what's the drop-dead date on the normalcy? What's the drop-dead date on... I'm anxious to know the date on the downtown Chicago. I'm anxious to know the date on United Airlines. I'm anxious to know the date on the Fed. Is it going to be 20 trillion, 30? At some point, even a frog is going to say, wait a minute, this isn't working. What are you guys doing, right?
That's always the million-dollar, trillion-dollar question when you know that there's a pending disaster, is what's the timing of it? And you got Livermore back in the day saying that the market can remain irrational longer than you can stay solvent trying to bet against those things. And more people have learned that. I think that's why you have the markets continuing to march higher.
Right, but it's
you know, and the thing is, I'm all about the financial history today. The thing is, yeah, it's all about when does the music stop? Are you still going to be out on the dance floor trying to dance? And the music had already stopped when that was said.
Or even worse, the day the movie.
I mean, and those of us that are closer to it, you and me, we just see a lot more than a lot of other people do.
But we're talking about everybody has this. I use the term aura or respect for these people. These people being our elected officials, our appointed officials. And I'm going to say, without giving any way into the cookies, Mr. Weber and his bro are in a side business. And from what I understand, they're doing pretty well. Now, say, for instance, that business gets torpedoed for like a month or two or indeterminate. And they're going to say, well, gee, we got X numbers of bucks on our drain is $1,000 a month. Okay, well, I can cover that for a few months. Let's do that. It's hanging business. We pick back up. It'll be okay. And now it's maybe $1,500 a month or $2,000 a month. Well, I still got $20,000 on my credit card. That's another 10 months. But now two competitors have dropped, so if we get back in business, we're really going to kick some behind. These are decisions that individual people make every day, and maybe even don't notice they're doing it. But the thing that they need to understand, I think, or we need to understand, is the people that are making these other calls, United Airlines at $40 million a day, are people just like us. Maybe.
Yeah.
And Jerome Powell is sitting there going, if I put this balance sheet up to $11 trillion, it's way more than I want it to be, but we're gonna continue to light this fire, and in one of these days, 2 years from now, it's gonna kick up, and then we can just start trickling this baby back down, and 10 years from now, nobody know we ever did it, and oh, by the way, we're gonna get pats on the back like there's no tomorrow. Unless it goes from 11 to 15 to 20 and nothing seems to be happening. It's the exact same decision, isn't it?
Yeah.
Except it's other people's money, which is a big difference.
It's easy to play around with other people's money.
Yeah, if they screw up, it's on us.
Yeah.
Or if Maddie screws up, it's on him. And that's why
nothing better than heads I win, tails I don't lose.
Yeah. I go back to my I don't know if he is, Jenny Owen went back to she was a professor, endowed professor, right?
Yeah.
I'm back at school, I'm teaching. Not my problem. SP Futures up for, I'm not saying that she didn't care. I think she cared dramatically. But Maddie's business can go under and just say, hey, you guessed wrong. He doubled the business in the 2 days before COVID hit. He screwed up. He's out. These other guys, they're still in on our dime. SP Futures up 15. As if he's up 47, you're right back, Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello, everyone. Play Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howie. He's Mr. Weber. S&P futures up 16. We were up maybe 18-20 when we came in. We went down to only being up 11. Now we're back to like right in the middle of that. Housing starts up 4.3%. They were supposed to be up 22%. And when I'm done with this, we're going to ask Ruskell about these numbers. Don't seem to be matching anywhere. Yesterday, Maddie, the Empire State Report, which is the business activity from the New York Fed, was supposed to come in at like a plus 2%. It came in at like a plus 35 or something. I mean, it was like, I mean, these numbers, they're not even, it's like the labor number last month. They're not even close. The retail sales number yesterday was supposed to be up 4 or 5, was up 17. I mean, you wonder if these guys are having problems with their end dates 1 month to the next, especially when you have 1 month way down and the next one way up. You wonder if they're catching it on the right day or whatever. Anyway, Dow's up 144. We've got the, we're in Europe, we got the DAX up 108. These guys are down a little bit from last time we talked. But it's still 0.9%. FTSE up 45.7. CAC around up 72, 1.5. So, pretty strong across the board in Europe. A little bit of a mixed bag in Asia. Nikkei down 126. These guys were up like 700 yesterday, so it's not much of a move. Shanghai up 4, call that flat. Hang Seng up 137. And I haven't heard boo since with all the other news that's come out of whether Hong Kong's in or out. But the stocks market's going up like every day the last couple of weeks, so I'm assuming things might have gotten better over there, but that's at least for the moment. Manny, why don't you do traffic, weather, sports, and I'll get the bonds in a minute.
I can do that. Coming up on 36 minutes past the hour here. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Off to a great start on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. No issues at all coming in on the Edens or Kennedy. Eisenhower looking good. We had some slow spots on the Stevenson earlier. They appear to be clear now. No issues on the Stevenson. Dan Ryan, I-57, and the Bishop Ford are all quiet. Still working on that. Actually, that lethal crash at 87th and Kedzie has now been clear. That investigation has concluded, so that's now reopened. We do have a new crash on the south side at Western Avenue, on the southbound side at 67th Street. Not a serious crash, as far as I can tell, but a crash, so you will have to navigate around that if you're heading down on the southbound side of Western Avenue. But everything else is looking good out there. Weather today, it's going to be a beautiful day here in Chicago. Lots of sunshine, warm temperatures, a high of 79. Could touch the mid-80s further inland. Right now, it's crystal clear and 70 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny and hot with a high of 103 today. Right now, it's clear and 79. Chief?
I had a question for you guys. We should be getting this news, but we're sort of not. Did all the factories close? I mean, did they stop making the CTA cars? The Ford plant closed for a while, didn't it, out in Chicago Heights, and they reopened, I believe. What about
my understanding is that every factory either powered through this or closed very briefly, but has been back in full mode for the last 2 months.
But a couple of plants weren't making cars. They shifted over to ventilators, right?
For a period, yeah. At least a portion, yeah, but they never stopped. I mean, the factories, I mean, Trump made it pretty clear, like, we're not closing the factories.
Right. And some of them had issues with COVID, or they all, the reason why I'm asking this question very ignorantly here is that I can't figure out if the problem has gone away or the news media is just going on to the next subject, I guess is my question.
I think it's a combination, a little bit of both. I think the numbers aren't making new highs, so they're not as exciting to talk about. And we do have a few other things for the, you know, we suddenly had a much different topic that was just as bad for the news media to pay attention to. I don't think it's gone away. I just think they're not talking about it as much.
Well, the last I heard about Hong Kong was Boris Johnson said that if a million people wanted to come from Hong Kong to Britain, they were still thought themselves as British subjects. His arms were open, right? I haven't heard anything since then. That's wild.
That was the last. I'm looking at Hong Kong now. you know, they've passed a rule. They've had some protests, but I don't think they've been as big. Beijing canceled well over 1,000 flights yesterday because they're having a second outbreak.
Yeah. I don't think they ever got rid of the first one.
I don't think anybody should be shocked about that one. Maybe shocked that they're admitting it, but not necessarily shocked that it's happening.
That was my next cynical question. How bad does it have to be for them to say something?
For them to actually admit it?
Yeah.
You're just talking about economic numbers. My understanding is the first real sign that there might be a little bit of an issue is that they were supposed to do a press conference. They do their economic numbers on the weekend.
Well.
And over the weekend, they shifted around from doing one in person for everybody to doing one online. They're like, well, why are you doing that? COVID's gone, man.
All the intellectual stuff, which there was a lot of, between the feds and the agriculture department and schools and everything. Is all that stuff with China stopped? I mean, don't quote your school. Will the, 2,000 or however many there were students from China that are normally at the University of Illinois, are they going to be here come September or no?
I honestly doubt it.
So
I don't know.
We don't have
a big contingency that comes from a single place like they do at U of I. So,
Maddie, with all those sirens, I'm thinking somebody else is going too fast.
Yeah, good Lord.
What's that going to do to these schools that have, how many people, isn't it in the hundreds of thousands that have come from China and are in our universities every year?
It is. It's like a nice profit center for us.
And they pay full board.
For the U.S., not where I am.
Well, the Catholic schools, I think most of them just have one price, right? They're not like Illinois where there's in-state and out-of-state, and the trick is to tell everybody in-state you can't get in.
Yeah, we've got one price, as you put it.
One nice and high price.
And actually, if you talk about a cohort coming over, ours is actually from Spain. We have a campus over in Spain, and we have a dual business degree where you come over here for 1 year.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Can you go there?
Actually, I've been working on that. I had a bunch of, actually, one of the classes that I had this spring was, half of them were from the Barcelona campus, and we had to get them home, and I felt awful for them. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I had
their semester abroad got ruined.
I did not do that, and I don't know if I missed it or not, but I'll say this to anybody. Manny, did you know anybody? Or Jill went to Iowa. Was there a big Iowa contingent that did a year abroad or not?
I'm sure there was, but I didn't.
She didn't.
Yeah.
But everybody I know that has done it said it was really something you should have done.
I would have loved to have done it. I would have loved to have did what some of my friends were able to do after high school and done a year or two of backpacking to kind of unwind before college. I would have loved to have done a lot of those things. I didn't have those options.
So you'd have been the guy, since the dispensaries are open and the schools are closed, just sat home smoking weed, which you couldn't do back then.
Right.
But now it's okay.
Now it's okay. Now it's encouraged.
Yeah. I had the opportunity, and this, talk about a nice opportunity, Russell, but coming out of Notre Dame, which my parents had, saved up for actually the government paid for that, for lack of a better term. And then University of Chicago was only, I think my total tab there for tuition was $5,000 or something, $5,500 for an MBA. And now it's $6,000 a class, and you need 20 classes. So, but there's no inflation. Just listen to the chairman.
Not at all.
And I was living at home. So that was, well, you had the chance, if you were going to do your second year abroad, I could have gone to Oxford and gotten an economics degree from Oxford and the MBA from University of Chicago, which would have been pretty friggin' sweet.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I'm thinking...
Tell me you don't kick yourself on that one.
Well, but I was living at home. I didn't want to ask for any more dough from my parents.
Yeah.
And how the hell was I going to go from living at home to having an apartment in London? Where the hell is Oxford in London? No, it's not in London.
No, it's off the beaten path.
Well, wherever. I got to believe
it's like an hour and a half, 2 hours outside.
I'm thinking it was a little more than commuting over to Chicago. Just saying.
While
I was working on the weekends here in the truck docks making money, so actually, I think I made dough while I was in grad school because I was still working in summers at the Chicago Public Schools as a janitor. Now you can't even do that. The janitors are all outside contractors. How screwed up is that? You can't even be a janitor anymore. Anyway, but I mean, I think I ended up profitable those 2 years. But looking back on it, boy, an economics degree from Oxford looked pretty cool on the wall.
It would, and I go to Cambridge every year for 3 days for a thing in February. And that was actually my last international trip before all this happened this time around. But I think Cambridge and Oxford are pretty similar. If I hope my wife's not up at the lake listening right now. If Cambridge came along and said, would you come over here and teach for a year, I would be like, you know, the Roadrunner. You'd just see a little poof of smoke.
Blue smoke coming out of your behind.
Oh, yeah,
because
it's just one of the coolest freaking places ever.
Which is snootier, Oxford or Cambridge?
I don't know. I really don't know.
They're both snooty enough.
I'm shocked they let me go into a classroom at Cambridge, let alone
walk
me around and showed me Isaac Newton's tree.
That's like asking if which is snootier, Harvard or Yale, depending on who you are.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, whenever I say I should have done that, you know what I say to myself, who I would have turned out like? You know who did that was Bill Clinton. I don't think I would have wanted to turn out like Bill.
Oh, no. Bill has a good time.
But he was president, for God's sake.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Bill has a good time.
Did you, I don't think it became much of a bestseller, Matty, but the Secret Service guy wrote the book, and when he was there, when Clinton was there, and a bunch of other people, and he kind of was a Mickey Mantle book or what's his name? Who wrote Balfour? Was Jim? Oh God!
I know who you're talking about.
The pitcher, anyway.
Boughton?
Yeah, Jim Boughton. The day in the White House.
Jim Boughton's correct.
Yeah, the day in the White House
came out in 1970.
The best one of the best lines in there, man. It wasn't about running under the bleachers and looking up girls' dresses. It was he said in spring training there's like nothing to do. Yet you had to be doing something all day long. And he goes, you get there, you do your running, you do your bunting, you do some throwing. But what else are you supposed to do? I mean, it's not an 8-hour workout.
I know. Baseball practice was the best. Like, especially after football and basketball, where all you're doing is conditioning, constant conditioning. Baseball, it was like, yeah, go stretch, play catch.
Yeah.
We'll do some, strategy stuff as far as like, hit and run and stealing bases and things like that. And then after that, the coach was like, all right, run around the bases twice and hit the showers. You're like,
remember the pitcher, what's the name, was it Kruk or something like that?
Oh, Jack Kruk.
He looked nothing like an athlete.
No, he was first baseman.
Spring training, he was smoking a cigarette and some woman came up and said, yeah, you're setting a bad example here. You're an athlete. And this lady, I'm not an athlete. I'm a baseball player.
he had this whole chapter about how if you're in the dugout and you're kind of hanging around, and all of a sudden the coaches would look at you like you're supposed to be doing something. We said then the trick was you'd pick up your mitt and you'd walk purposefully toward the bullpen. And you got there and you start dicking around and doing some stuff because people felt that he's going there to do something.
That's right.
And when you get there, you kind of dick around. And finally the bullpen coach is looking at you and you grab your mitt and you walk back to the dugout.
It's like the Costanza philosophy in Seinfeld. Just look kind of frustrated and the boss will leave you alone because he thinks you're busy thinking about something important.
Well, I had that gig going at Pullman for my office was in Hammond, but the railroad car contract I was, financially in charge of was the one in Roseland, in the actual Pullman on 111th Street. So I drive to Pullman because you had to be there. Talk about working from home, Matty. I never went directly to the place in Pullman in 111th. I always went to Hammond first. So they would see me. Talk about stupidity. Then I'd get back in my car and I'd drive. And I was constantly, where is that guy? Well, he's on his way to PCW1. Then I'd get there and the phone would ring. Well, where is he? He's already on his way back to PCW. I could do that all day long. It was like.
Just drive back and forth. Man, he's busy.
He's busier than hell.
Hey. What was the bar halfway between those two places?
Actually, it was kind of an interesting no man's land as you went down. It was like a Glenwood Dyer Road or some bizarre road you went from Hunterdon to get to. I used to go the back way into Hammond. Back way into Hammond is kind of an odd way to get there. But The anyway, so the universities, they're going to have some problems budgetary too. Right? You think anybody's?
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, we got a little questionnaire asking us what what our feelings were on different ways to help with the budgetary situation that we will have at Loyola, because they're not going to have as many kids living on campus because they're going to space them out a little bit more, and there's an assumption of lower enrollment. Although I keep making an argument that if you got a kid that's thinking about going to either Iowa or Loyola, and they were a little bit on the fence, maybe their family wants them to stay a little bit closer to home just in case things turn south real quick. So
very possible.
I actually made an argument that I think schools in big cities might actually, net, not necessarily benefit, but not get hit as hard as sending your 18-year-old away to Champaign and worried about them, living within 6 feet of 50 people.
Well, what's the page
two? I think we're going to be okay. I mean, my class is filled up just like normal, like within a couple of days. So,
that's because you're popular. They know you're on the show.
Yeah.
Plus, he gets all the athletes.
I mentioned that once during class, and they're like, "You do what? Oh my god, you're asleep. Don't worry about it."
Yeah, exactly. You're not awake. Well, didn't you say you get all the athletes too?
I do. One of my kids, I did a Zoom meeting with him. He's back in Israel for the summer. He was real close to being on the Olympic team. And wow. this is basically kind of messed up his whole training schedule. He also was going to be finishing school. So he's actually going to do a fifth year. He gets an extra year of scholarship as a spring athlete. So he's going to come back next year and probably do a master's degree, 1 year master's degree with us, and then go back and hopefully make the Israeli national team.
So you're not like charts for jacks or anything, are you?
No. In fact, those guys, I don't give them any slack just because they're athletes.
Yes.
At all. In fact, if anything, I go the other direction. They'll be traveling, and I'll assign homework and stuff, and they weren't in class, and then. They won't do it, and they'll say, "Well, we're out of town." I said, "Yeah, but it's your job to, keep up with what's going on, even when you're not here."
Without talking out of school, though, a lot of the athletes now taking summer school classes.
I don't know. I'm on a summer sabbatical to finish my dissertation, so I don't really know who's doing what this summer. I mean, I know you can do any class you want online this summer. It's the only way you could do it.
Well, the reason why I ask is. So. I mean, clearly, if you're one of the reasons, I think a lot of schools have, I'm not going to be an old grumpus about this, I'm going to say that they've helped a lot of these kids out. I mean, when I was in school, way back in the day, if you were a kid from basketball, football, and had gone to a, let's say, not a college prep high school, but you managed to qualify for Loyola Notre Dame, I mean, your first day there, I mean, especially if you're a freshman, because they're, I mean, there really wasn't any. You didn't show up early for basketball, for sure. Football, mm-hmm. you weren't on the football team. You were only a freshman, so you probably showed up a little earlier than regular people, maybe because of the freshman football team. But by and large, your first day in class was with 20 other people that were graduated number 1 through 10 in their class. So it was it was a rough day, even if you were willing to learn, ready to learn, and capable of learning. You just weren't in that same, I'll say. Educational class at that point, which doesn't mean that you couldn't catch up. So now what they've done is they've had guys come, and girls, come early in the summer and maybe take a couple classes in the summer, the ones that are they get acquainted with school classes where you read and talk about, and maybe even a math class or something. And I have a feeling that by Labor Day, those kids, even though they're athletes, are way better acclimated than they ever were back in my day. Not to mention the fact, if you're going to play football as a freshman, you better only be taking 9 hours that semester. And if you didn't go to summer school, how the hell do you pull that off? Basketball, like Loyola has, you guys don't have a football team. I mean, basketball is a 2-semester course. So you'd rather have those kids taking 12 hours than 15, I would think, and taking 6 in the summer, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and I did see an email pass through my box apparently they just did online freshman athlete orientation like last week for these kids.
Wow.
So they're already getting them prepared for next year.
You're not currently managing money for people. I am. But I'm going to ask you, right now I have my opinion of the market and what the Fed's doing and how I'm managing my people. And what's yours? What would you be doing if you were me?
I would be collaring everything that I have. And the reason I would be doing that, and this actually goes to the dissertation I'm working on, and you even mentioned it in passing. You mentioned people saying, what about owning United Airlines right now? Because they see it going up, and you're kind of in a situation where you have to temper people's attitudes about things and what they think you should be doing versus what you know as a professional and having more long-term insight you know you should be doing. So I'd be in the market, but I would be doing protected type things like you do.
Yeah,
and that's not just because I'm on your show right now.
I did. I put some money to work yesterday, and it's harder to do, Russell. It's harder to pick the indexes because they don't all track the same.
They're all over the place right now. Yeah. If you think the global economy is going to outperform the U.S. economy, go for the S&P. If you think the U.S. is going to outperform, go for if America at some point will be great, go for the Russell 2000. The divergence between the two over the past few years has never been greater.
Yeah, it's been. What do you make of these? Not individual numbers. What do you make of the total lack of anybody being able to predict even the economic numbers lately? It's like, remember your hero, maybe didn't even know who he was, Richard J. Daley, when they said there's been allegations, and he said, "Who are all these alligators? I want to meet one." Typical Richard J. Daley. But I mean, we have the sales yesterday were a big surprise. Today, housing starts supposed to be up 22%. They're up 4%. The day before, the Empire State number was supposed to be 2, and it came out at 35 or some incredible. I mean, are we just, because 1 month is down, the next month's up, and we're having these turn? Are they just having trouble picking a day? You know, it's hard to believe that in this month, 5,000 people a day lost their job. Then you flip the switch to the next month, and all of a sudden, 1,000 people a day got a job. I mean, do you think these numbers are just having timing issues, or are they these guys can't be that incompetent. I mean, and the people estimating them can't be that bad. Yet everything's off.
Well, I think it's a lot harder, especially because a lot of these numbers are like a preliminary, this is kind of a guesstimate with some seasonality in there. I think the Empire State number is a survey-oriented number. And if you're having a hard time getting people on the phone to get data for that, then you just shouldn't be paying attention to that number at all. And I don't think you should be paying attention to that number at all.
Well, what is like the retail sales number?
And really, like a survey number, like just go back to the Empire State one for just a second. If it's a Monday and the cases have dropped on the East Coast dramatically and we haven't had riots quite yet, you might actually be looking up. And then by Friday, your whole attitude about everything may have changed.
Okay, so that's an attitude survey.
Well, it's just a survey of people that are working in the manufacturing area and asking them, what do you expect, where are you at right now, and what do you expect over the next few months?
Well, we only got a couple minutes here, but you know what's kind of interesting, Russell? I want to run this by you because I don't know if any of the rest of the guys even know what the hell I'm talking about. But in all my, years of studying this stuff, first at school, with Milton Friedman, Mr. Inflation guy and money supply guy. I never, because the stock market, last time we had inflation, didn't go with the inflation. It went with the interest rates. It went with the interest rates that went up and actually went down. It didn't participate like an asset class, like gold or silver or houses. Okay. Now this time, it seems to me that it is. It's becoming the asset classes run up. And in history, I recognize that the Weimar Republic I bring up, as the currency kept devaluing, the stock market kept going to the moon. Why is it nowhere in my educational sphere did I ever hear that story? until I went and looked it up myself. Same thing happened in Iran. Same thing happened in Venezuela.
Well, because I don't know why they wouldn't bring it up. I mean, we all kind of know that's what's happening. But, you know, in real other people's currency terms, it's not going up at all.
Right, but and those guys...
But yeah, the Weimar... I mean, yeah, the thing in Germany was just like the thing here in the late 1920s. And it got boosted even more because they were printing money, and they had to print it so fast, they're only printing it on one side of the paper.
I mean, how is it, though, that I also never heard that the government considered that a success because they were able to renegotiate with... And we'll talk about this next week, buddy. You take care of yourself. I hope you're all back in school on time. Maybe we'll even see you next week. Who knows?
Maybe.
S&P futures only up 9 now. We were up 25 earlier. NASDAQ futures up 39. Be right back tomorrow morning. Stocks and Jacks.
What do we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't f***ing know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.